Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. While the missiles and drones go back and forth from Iran and the Houthis and Lebanon, Gaza has been in the news, always in the news. It still is, although it's hard to see given the fighting in Iran. So now I go to Malcolm to report to him as I faithfully listen to London news each morning, especially the FT.com. Malcolm, the reporting is strange. It's detached. It's assertive. And it continues to change its point of view, always anti-Israeli, but from the point of view of Gaza officials or Hamas health ministry or just public opinion about the aid stations. And not today, but I believe 24 hours ago, the report was an Israeli tank had opened up and civilians who were queued up to receive aid because they were starving. It was that way, Malcolm. That was reported according to Palestinian officials. Maybe they said Gaza officials. Sometimes they go back and forth. What is going on in Britain, Malcolm? Is this, I mean, what universe is this?
It's insanity, and it's self-destructive, ultimately. And you see it in the loss of confidence of people in any of the reporting. BBC devotes a very significant portion every night of its news reporting to these fictional stories, interviewing people supposedly in Gaza. And so many times these have been proven to be false reports. The latest one was the report that many people, dozens of Palestinians, were killed at a Gaza Humanitarian Foundation aid distribution site. And they said it's just categorically untrue. It did not occur at a GHF site, but at a UN World Food Program site, which has nothing to do with Israel. This is under UN auspices. And so far, they say that nothing has occurred at the sites of the GHF, which the United States and Israel are supporting, and during their operating hours. What happens afterwards, sometimes they don't know. But they designed specifically to prevent these kind of tragedies. And yet the BBC will interview people, and so no matter how many times it's proven that the assertions are wrong, both in terms of the numbers and the presence and who was even fighting in the area, times when Israel wasn't even nearby, and yet they report as fact. And when they apologize at times and they try to backtrack on it, but then they go immediately and do the same thing again. And I think people are beginning to see through it, though unfortunately the damage is done. And you see that there aren't demonstrations except for the Useful Idiots marching in New York, but you don't see demonstrations for Iran in Iran. You don't see them in other countries where people are standing up for Iran because they recognize the danger it poses. Yet the media would portray them in this soft light, not talking. And then I don't reference the people. And Israel has avoided civilian casualties and civilian sites, targeting military sites, that it just discredits them completely.
About Iran, we forget that Iran has practiced the art of threatening Israel for many years. What do you hear now, Malcolm? Is it now a fact established that Iran has provoked this conflict? Is that accepted?
Very broadly, and including in the region, including in Muslim and Arab countries, and I've spoken to leaders in those countries. I mean, remember the Ring of Fire, where the Iranians were responsible for Hezbollah and for Hamas and for the Houthis and for the militias in Syria and Iraq, that they tried to surround Israel, but more than that, overthrow the regimes establishing themselves as control factor in Syria and in Lebanon, denying the people their rights there, let alone their own rights. Just a report came out this week where almost 1,000 people were executed over the last year in Iran. It is the most vicious regime in the world in that regard. And the same thing is what it does to subjugate people. And that's why you don't see sympathetic statements. But for us and for America to be reminded why this is so important for us. You remember in 1979 when the 52 American diplomats were held hostage, and in 1983, 241 Marines were killed by Hezbollah, directed by Iran's IRGC, and 19 airmen in the Khobar Towers by Iran, Saudi, Hezbollah, two attempts on the life of the president. The sailors from the USS Cole, 17 of them killed in 2000, and then U.S. troops killed 608 plus by Iranian EFPFs in Iraq, terror by remote control, and the drone and rocket attacks by Iran militias killed soldiers in Tower 22. We can go on with the whole list. So Iran has long been at war with America. Israel is fighting the war for the West right now. And no one can but be amazed at how this little country, which has one-tenth the population of Iraq and one-seventieth the geographic size, has been able to counter the Iranian assaults and the massive buildup of missiles, et cetera. And I think that accounts for some of the silence of the others in the region, who all tell me quietly that they are longing for Israel's complete victory.
You have polling, Malcolm, the American people watching this conflict. What does it tell us?
So the latest poll that I saw, because there are varying reports, and obviously people don't like war, but half of the American people approve of the attack. Republicans much more likely, I think almost three quarters in favor. But the majority believe Iran poses a threat to the United States. And a majority of about 60% think that the strikes against Iran could make the world more dangerous, while a significant part believe that it will make it much safer. So for the 80+% who believe that what happens in the Middle East matters for the life in the United States. And by the way, the latest poll shows also way over majority support for financial aid for the Israeli military, that despite the negative press and the distortions, I think the American people largely see through it. What we've seen on our campuses, we see the manipulation of our young people and of our political process often, that the people are beginning to take account and recognize who our friend is in the region and who is not.
It was established over several administrations that Iran is the chief sponsor of terror in the world. Is that being repeated, Malcolm, by the administration? Are they reminding the American people what Bill Clinton said, what George Bush said, what Barack Obama said, what Joe Biden said?
I think President Trump believes it. I think there are people in the administration, there are neo-isolationists, there are others who try to argue against him, try to restrict what the United States does, some even holding key positions. I think most in the military, certainly the CENTCOM people, have been remarkable in this regard, and that the president has shown real leadership because he understands what's at stake here, what's at stake for America, what's at stake for the region, and recognizing that in Iran, allowed to continue on its path to a nuclear weapon and being so close to being able to say, guys, it's too late, we did it. And he knows that they were buying time when he offered them a month and they asked for 60 days and he gave it to them, that they were just buying time while they continued to move ahead on their nuclear program, on the enrichment, in complete violation of the IAEA standards and their agreements.
Malcolm Hoadline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Fog of War. This will continue.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,